we were talking about church, you know, and like the value of it. And I was like, you know, not every time you go to church do you have this life-transforming thing, but it's like I told him, I'm always encouraged. I'm always built up. I'm always edified just for being in this atmosphere. You know, it's because we're, you know, we get so beat up in the world. We hear so much chatter and unrighteousness, and just to be in a righteous atmosphere is just, it's just, I love it. I live for it. Well, tonight we're so blessed again to have our brother Don. For those of you who don't know, Don Richter, he's a pastor to pastors. He's traveled all over the world and held leadership conferences and trained and encouraged and strengthened leaders. And so I was thinking tonight, you know, about Don. The word that came to my mind was friend. And because, you know, we esteem our leaders and we respect them, and the ones that God has given the really heavy responsibility of bringing the word and of leading us. But Jesus called his disciples friends. He said, "You are my friends." And so that's what I think of Pastor Don. I think of a friend. And so come on up, Don. Sure. Me? Okay. Father, we're so thankful tonight that you have brought us our brother Don. Lord, we ask and pray that your blessing, your anointing would rest upon him, Lord, that you would bring clarity, that you would flow through him, Lord, that you would remove anything that you know once said, Lord, and that you would give him a holy unction to speak tonight, and you would flow through him, your blessing and favor and goodness upon him, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, friend. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you guys as happy as I am tonight, huh? Maybe more, huh? Why not? It's a bad day when you're getting ready to do something and you have your iPad under your arm. Oh, you don't want to hear this story, do you? I didn't know it was in the cover that I have for it. So when the cover slipped out from under my arm and hit the floor on a corner, I thought, no big deal, because it's just the cover. When I opened it up, the glass was so shattered I couldn't believe it. So I got another iPad, but I don't know how to work it. So I'm still learning that whole process, but I'm having a great time. Are you having a great time? When is the meeting over at Shining Light? When is that?
Tuesday, the 19th.
This coming Tuesday?
Not this Tuesday, a week from this Tuesday.
A week from this Tuesday. That would be the 19th. Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. When she announced that, I had received that from Pastor Steve. He said, I'm going to do this. And he said, I'm going to do it because you went to that first meeting, me. You were there too, weren't you? No. Some of you might have been there. It was in the morning at the Hope Church. Okay. It blew me away. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, wow, this guy is so full of vision. But he has a lot of young people that can carry the energy of it, you know. But Lou Ingalls is a man that carries a burden for the lost. Yeah, I'll just put it that way. He has a picture in his mind. I encourage you, now this one's at night. You don't have to get up at 7 in the morning. I have to get up here at 6 to be there at 7 or whatever, but this one's at night. So, if you can do this, you need to be there. Really, you need to be there because you're going to hear something that's going to stir you up. So I encourage that. And so when Kathy announced that, I decided that I needed to shift a gear because when I come to a meeting like this, I really don't have a big plan, but I know that he does, right? Thank God for that. So how many of you believe that God is interested in the spiritual gifts that we have?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Some of you do. I didn't see everybody responding to that. If you're not awake, you need to really just raise your hand to let me know that you're still there, okay? I'm a friend, actually. I won't trap you into anything. I just want to share tonight something about the Holy Spirit. How many of you know about the Holy Spirit? That's good. That's good. How many are offended by the Holy Spirit?
No.
I said I wouldn't trap you. I'm just asking questions. I want you to think a little bit. How many are offended by the Holy Spirit? How many are offended by the cross? We're in the right house, aren't we? How many know that God and His Holy Spirit is truly interested in us? Now, I've been here and I've taught before, and I know that some of you have been through the teaching process, but I want to ask you a question. What is the Holy Spirit? Now, this is your turn. I mean, I could get up here and preach at you, but I'd rather us share some things together so I can learn too, okay? All right. So what is the Holy Spirit?
The Comforter.
The Comforter. That's what He does. For sure.
Part of the Trinity.
He's what?
Part of the Trinity.
You didn't know that, huh? Part of the Trinity. I knew you knew it. Who sent that up forward? Who sent that up forward? Ah, okay. All right. What else can we say about the Holy Spirit?
Hmm? I thought it was a spiritual manifestation of God.
How many of you seen the Holy Spirit?
In the idea of His work in mankind and the Spirit that He dealt with in the Bible.
Okay. So you weren't the only one to raise your hand. Two people in the back immediately raised their hand. I want to hear what they have to say. How many have seen the Holy Spirit? So go ahead. Stan, you're first. Now, sitting beside you is somebody who also raised her hand. So, Kathy?
In my mind, when I'm worshiping, at times I've seen like a stage. It's like we're in an open, not stadium, but it's like an open mountain.
Uh-huh. See, I know that these folks over here can't see the hand motions, but this is really cool back here. You can't see what she's doing. She's in the right place. Yes.
I didn't exactly see the Holy Spirit, but a couple of years ago, I had a Holy Spirit encounter where I physically felt the Holy Spirit. We went to Jesus Culture. I went with Seth Atkins, and we were in a time of worship, and I didn't really feel anything, and then I just started surrendering, and I let go, and God came in, and the Holy Spirit came into my body, mm-hmm. made my entire body warm and tingling, and that's when I got healed and God gave me a new identity that my, because I was born with autism, and that's when God lifted and took my autism. I had like felt like I was on fire and I was tingling.
Amen. Amen. That's a great testimony. Now this is what I want to help us with right now. Did you really see the Holy Spirit? You see, the Spirit is like a wind. Are we okay? You see, I don't think we understand that we really can't see the Spirit. We can only see the Spirit moving one way or another. If this flag's over here, we're blowing in the wind. We say, do you see that wind? Yeah, look at that flag. No, you don't see the wind, you see the flag. You don't see the wind. Wind is air. It's like breath. You can't see breath unless it's mine. It could be really bad, I guess. But the reality is the point I want to make is this. When I asked the question, how many have seen the Holy Spirit, what you told me about is what the Holy Spirit did, or how the Holy Spirit made you feel, or how the Holy Spirit did something. So the truth is, when we see the Holy Spirit, we're actually seeing the fruit of a movement of wind. God says, you don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's blowing from. So the Holy Spirit is really an entity of... Now see, what I've just done for you is I'm intentionally stirring some things up here because I think it's important for us. Sometimes we in the flesh will do things and we're claiming it's the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're moving the way we're moving, or that we're doing what we're doing. When we see a total healing and we give glory to God and we say, the Holy Spirit really did that. I believe it's true, but I don't know that you really seen the Spirit. You actually, what you did was you sensed there was a Spirit there because of something that happened. I love the testimony about just feeling warm all over. I feel that, you know what? That's a flesh feeling. That wasn't the Spirit. That was the flesh feeling. Am I okay with you? You kind of look like, oh, I don't know where he's going with this. Well, I want to tell you something. When you go to see Lou Engles, you're going to be distracted maybe. I don't want you to be. How many know this man? Have you seen him? So what do you think? The ones who've seen him. He's interesting because he is unique. And he's got this constant motion going on. I don't know what it is. But I know that he does that. I don't want you to be distracted by that necessarily, but I want you to know that that's who he is. And when you see him moving like that, is he stirring something up? Is something stirring him up? Or what's going on? Don't pay any attention to it. Because he'll bring it out because he knows that that's obvious. Everybody who has eyes can see this. But it's Lou Engles. We already know that we're going to see that, but that's okay. I want you to see past that because he's got a tremendous heart, a tremendous vision, and it's God-given. I don't know whether that causes him to hear better or see better or whatever. I don't know what this is all about. But I do know this. On an airplane, I watched this same activity from a Hasidic Jew. And he stood there, and he's praying. But he's constantly moving. When he's not moving, he's not praying. I don't know what it's all about, but I want to encourage you not to be distracted. And don't be enamored by it. And don't walk away from there and do that because you think that's going to happen. Something's going to happen if I do that. I mean, if I just start waving like this, that something's going to happen. No, don't do that. Don't imitate. Well, you didn't expect me to talk like this tonight, I know. But I just want you, I'm just kind of bringing you to a place. Because when you go there, what I want you to be doing is I want you to be receiving by the grace of God what the Holy Spirit is not doing out there, but is doing in here. Because you can see if you can see the flag moving, or you can see whatever's happening in front of you with your eyes. But the reality is, what's happening here? Don't miss it. I just want you to do that because I feel like it's an important thing to do. And tonight what I want to do is I want to talk to you about this whole idea of the Holy Spirit, how important it is. You know, there's, why does this keep doing this to me? I'm telling you this. I think I'm okay. Welcome. What's it telling me to do? Well, let me try this one. Well, that seemed to work. All right. The Holy Spirit, Paul wrote three books in the New Testament where he highlights three distinct impartations of spiritual gifts. Now, Bibles, you didn't know you're going to Bible school. I get to do this because it says I'm teaching a diversity of gifts of the Holy Spirit by Dr. Don Richter at the Bible College. So here we go. What are those three books? Where do you see those? Where Paul writes specifically about the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to, I want to hear them. First one, what are you saying? Corinthians, which one?
First,
okay. That's 2 Corinthians. I'm just bringing us all together here. Okay, second book, where is it? Anybody? Romans, that's really good. That's great. Another book, last one. 3 books he wrote. Galatians. That isn't in my notes. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit there.
Okay, sorry.
So here, how, what would you think of Ephesians? Huh? We're going to talk about the diversity of those gifts, but I want to bring a commonality to all of them. The diversity of those gifts. We're going to look at 3 different places where he highlights 3 distinct impartations of spiritual gifts. The first one, I'm going to rearrange the order because the first one was mentioned was 1 Corinthians. But we're going to start with Romans because that seems to be the right place to start. It's right after the book of Acts. So, what do those gifts represent? Does anybody know? See, we're having trouble because Eve wasn't expecting this tonight. Well, those gifts really are serving gifts. They're the ones we serve with. And I think it's important to recognize. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 1. And we're going to read a couple verses here. Are we good? Oh, it is right there. Oh, boy. I love this. Yeah, that's very nice. You can read it there, too. I hope it's New King James. If it's not, it's going to not quite read the same. But that's all right. The Spirit's the same. We're good. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, here's what we do with that. Sometimes we just leave it right there. That's enough. We don't need to read it anymore. But there's more to this passage. That's not the complete thought. Here's the rest of it. Because he ends there. He says, perfect will of God. For I say, in verse 3, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing by the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. In proportion to our faith or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who sows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, we looked at seven gifts here. Now, I know what you're thinking. You say, we heard this before. You didn't hear it before tonight this way. And here's why I say that, because it's new every morning. The Spirit of God is not dull. It's not. We don't pull this whole thing out of a closet and say, "Yeah, I had that." Or no, if you do that, you're going to miss a point tonight. I want you to realize that this is fresh and new right now. There are seven specific gifts, and these are for serving. Now, the reason I'm bringing these out is because there is one. Well, I won't go there yet. Because I think it's important, because what's going to happen when Lou Ingalls is here, you're going to see a specific gift. It's very significant. We'll come back to that in a moment. What time do I have to quit? What time must I quit?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. I can do that. You don't know, but I can do that. Really. 8 or 9 or 8. Okay. We're going to do that. Here's what I'm going to say to you, though. You may not know it, but I've been invited back again on the 30th, whatever I said yes to him. I'm coming back on the 30th of March. Is that March? It has to be, right? Yes, March 30th. Oh, I love this stuff. My goodness. At any rate, these are specific serving gifts, and I can't dwell too long on them, because I'm going someplace tonight, but I have another night. According to the grace that is given to us. In other words, we need to serve with those, well, they call them serving gifts or ministry gifts. I know both of them. And it's that place of according to the grace given to us. So they're grace gifts too. But there's a need for us to recognize that the Bible interprets itself. And I'm going to tell you this, and you're going to have to do this because it's a little deeper. All of those gifts, they are gifts that we're going to see explained within the Scriptures. See, man tried to. We try to explain those, but that doesn't work too well. If we go on from where we are, from these gifts, and understand that we don't have to add anything to it. We'll behave like Christians when we follow the Scriptures of what they say those gifts are. In verse 9 it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Am I all right? Yeah, we good. affectionate to one another and with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. I feel like there's a place for us to understand that we can move forward with serving gifts. How many of you know that serving gifts do not expect anything in return? I guess none of the gifts should expect, but this is a highlight here because it's a sacrificial serving that we do. I love what I do. I don't know what my gift is exactly, but I love what I do. So if it's a gift, then it's easy for me to do. I think I was given 11. Did you say? When you say that, I said I can do that. I went to Africa one time and I got caught in the middle of something. I thought I had a plan, and they brought 80 pastors together, and they're all there on a Monday morning, and they're ready to go. They're ready to hear what the team has to say. Well, one of my team members took ill. He didn't drive. The other team member that I had, I thought he was going to be able to stand and teach with me. That gives us two of us. And so I told him, I said, okay, I'll take the first session, you take the second. And he looked at me and he said, what? I said, well, you can teach, can't you? Oh, no, I can't teach. I said, come on. I said, you came on this trip. I know who he is. I mean, I thought this guy can teach. Well, let me tell you something. I said, let's do this. You take the first session, and then I'll go from there. He got up. He said, my name is... I'm born again. I'm saved by the grace of God, by faith. Okay. And I'm looking at, now here's what I'm looking at. 5 days, 8 hours a day of Bible teaching. And this is my team. You see, now this is not, I'm not saying anything about him. I'm saying that I found myself in a place. So then the head of that organization, he said, he looked at the guy who was organizing it, his lieutenant, I guess you would call him, that's my phrase. He said, what are we going to do? And the guy looked at him and said, don't worry. I know Pastor Don, don't worry. Well, I was born in New York, and I was accused of being the pastor with the eternal sermon. So he said, don't worry. I hope you're laughing with me, not at me. Okay, all right. I just don't know sometimes, but I feel okay. I'm good. You're friends. So I started. That was Monday morning, Friday at 5 o'clock. I wonder what happened to this week. I mean, it was gone. And we filled it. We filled it up. We being... the Holy Spirit, and me just believing it, he's going to give me something, But I can tell you now, I know what my gift is. And if you give me liberty, I will do this for hours. You may fall asleep, but that's okay. I love the church. I serve sacrificially. People say to me, how do you do that? How could you do that? Well, this particular man said that to me. He said, how did you do that? I can't do that. I don't put that on him. This is a sacrificial gift that's within me. When I do it, I'm energized by it. It's not a labor for me. I'm energized by it. Oh, you... Huh? Amen. Why does it work that way? Because it's a grace gift given to me. And by the way, I'm not And here, I'm going to get in trouble with somebody, I'm sure. Do you ever take those little inventory things, find out what your gift is? You know, mine changes. Yeah, I'd like to say I know exactly what it is. I told you, I don't, because it changes. I could do this, like I said, there's something that I do in pastoring that just feeds me to death. I mean, I'll just keep doing it. But I don't know what it looks like sometimes. Flags blowing, maybe. You know, something's happening, but I can't really see what it is. I just know that at the end of the day, I'm not tired. And I know the fact of that. I know this precious brother, I looked at him and I thought, this was on me, actually, because I just assumed he could do that. I learned not to assume, really. And I had an experience one time, and I thought I was going to have to call 911 because I asked a lady to say something in front of the congregation. I mean, she just started to choke. Her face turned red, and I realized we're in trouble here. And she didn't ask to be speaking, but I asked her to get up and share her testimony. I realized what was going on, and I turned her around. And I said, look at me in the eyes. She did. I said, don't tell them. Just tell me the testimony right now. She was fine. But if she had to look at those faces, see, I love looking at your faces. I love what happens when we're together. But she didn't. She was just petrified. Grace gifts are amazing. They allow us to do things. I really think that it's important for us to recognize that the grace gifts, the ministry gifts that we have, are really important. We accomplish great things with them. And so I want to quickly move on to another area, because I said we're going to talk about diversity. And I can't get as detailed in this as I'd like to. I believe that it's important for us to recognize that the spiritual gifts we have that are listed in, those ones that are in Ephesians, what are those gifts? So we have now the ministry gifts. We have that kind of whole thing where we're looking at sacrificial gifts, serving gifts, I should say. So what are the ones in Ephesians about? Nobody wants to guess. Where do we find them? Anybody know that?
Ephesians 4.
That's correct. Ephesians 4, if we go to Ephesians 4 and we look at Ephesians 4:4, we're going to be looking at 4:4 through 13. You there? Okay. I want to start with Ephesians 4, verse 4. I'm still seeing Romans up there. But at any rate, this is where we are. In Ephesians 4, verse 4, there is one body. Do you believe that? Why do you believe that? Because the Bible tells us so, right? There is one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I'm so happy he said you all, because it brings us to a place where we see this very clearly. That's the New King James version of that passage. What he's doing here is he's getting us all on the same page. My question is, do I really believe there is one body and one Spirit? Just as we were called in one hope of our calling. See, many people don't think you're called. Are you called? What are you called?
Hmm?
I can't hear you.
You said a child of God.
Child of God.
Oh.
I'm here to serve him.
Okay. You're called to be a child of God.
Yes, and to serve him as an ambassador.
Okay. What's your calling, Michael? I'm not going to wait for you to answer, but I'm just going to ask you. It's called Army Volunteers.
Well, I believe it is to preach the word, but not necessarily in front of the people, just in wherever I'm at, maybe one-on-one or whatever.
Okay. Anybody else want to jump in here? Nobody's drowning yet, are they? Okay.
My calling is to tell everyone about the Word of God, share them, and because I'm a child of God, and my Father has told me to spread the love of God.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if this is a gift, but I love people. I love to be around people. I love to speak the Word, of course, when I can get it in.
It's very interesting. Let's talk about that for a moment. I that's interesting. I'm trying to think where I might see in Scripture the gift of God's love or gift of love. Whether that's a spiritual gift or not. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that. But, yeah. Anybody else want to jump in?
What was the question?
The question?
I was out there.
What is your calling?
What is your calling?
What is your calling?
I believe, the Lord wants me to finish my four books, and one of them is Identity of Who You Are in Christ.
Mm-hmm. And so how are you doing?
As soon as I get my computer, maybe I can finish all my
books. Okay, all right. All right. You are absolutely too quiet over here. Come on. What is your calling?
Live the best life I can and treat others as I'd like to be treated.
So, anybody else want to... See, I feel that sometimes we determine what our calling is when God's already called us to something. He's called us to one hope of our calling. And I think it's important for us to recognize that this one hope we have locked up in one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. And sometimes the things we do, we lose hope. He's calling us to one hope. I feel like it's important for us to recognize that this one body and one Holy Spirit is how we determine what God's called us to be and to do. In verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure. I haven't forgot where we at. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So what did he actually give? Huh? Well, I'm going to read this again. I want you to read it with me now. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You see, I like the idea that the word grace... We look at that and we say, well, that means that we didn't deserve what we got. That we got it for free, or, that's what grace is. And I believe that. I believe that we didn't deserve or earn what we have. But what we've been given is grace, and this grace is a really important aspect of our relationship with Him. Grace isn't... God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the acronym that that we use. We don't deserve it. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. Well, that's not enough. because this grace, the gifts that were given to men, were there with grace involved. So, according to the measure of Christ's gift, I like the idea that we can look at this whole passage and realize that we're given grace to do what it is that God called us to do. There's a grace in that. And there's a scripture that says, when he came full of grace and, come on, help me, truth, yes. That's his description. That's who Jesus is. He came full of grace and truth. Well, I look at that and I say, what is grace then? What is that? It's interesting that there's a place with grace that we find ourselves being that flag that we talked about a moment ago. Grace is a divine influence on the soul. That's what it is. It's not just getting something for free, you know what I'm saying? But now the fact that grace is there, that means that there's a grace in my life. I would really like to preach this sometime here. But the message of grace, we minister grace. Grace upon grace, you know. Grace has this meaning of God's divine influence on the soul that's seen in the action that I take. Right now, I stand here and I'm ministering by God's grace. So grace becomes a divine influence. If we're saved by grace, that was a divine influence. It isn't just that you did it. You got it for nothing. You know what I'm saying? You can't earn it. I get that. But there's more to it than that. There's a divine influence that's taking place when I walk in grace. If I didn't have the grace to do what I'm doing right now, we'd all get tired quick. Because there's a grace here that allows me, yes, he allows me to do it, but he also is having an influence on my heart. I asked somebody, I said, when did you get saved? Oh, I don't know, it just happened. You know, I said, no, wait, when did you get saved? Can you give me a date? Oh, yes, I remember that day. Well, when was that? Well, that was Sunday morning in 1902, and it was, you know, whatever the date was that they remember. And I said, how did that happen? Well, it was, gave an altar call. I answered the altar call. My question is this. If indeed we're saved by grace, when did that divine influence start happening in his heart or her heart? Was it when I gave the altar call, or is it, did they already start that and just completed it? That, you see, this idea of being influenced by God, by his Holy Spirit, when we do things by grace, I have the grace to do this. I depend on that. When I get up, I depend on God's grace in everything that I do. I'm not saying, you know, God, I'm just a real bum and I'm going to do it, I'm going to fail, but I know your grace is there for me. Well, guess what? That's not the grace that we're talking about. Jesus didn't come that way. He didn't come saying, well, you know, Father, I'm going to do this because your grace is there. No, it's a very engaging thing. The name of that sermon, by the way, is What's So Amazing About Grace? And it is totally amazing. I love that sermon. But anyway, it's not a sermon that I love to preach. I love that sermon. I love that sermon. It's a truth. So when I think about being influenced in my heart to do something or be something, I already know that when I'm standing with grace, not standing here and saying, You know, I could merely mess this up, but I'm here in grace, and you can't judge it or whatever. Whatever people want to put on that. I came knowing that God is going to influence. There's a grace here. And so here we are. But each one of us is given, of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Let's picture this. Well, I'm going a little further. Therefore, he said, when he ascended on high, I don't want to read that again. I just read that. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? It also means that he also first descended into a lower part of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fulfill or fill all things. What did he give as gifts? Now, I love this part. I want to present it so you really get a hold of it tonight. And he himself gave some to be apostles. Well, we can have a big argument over that, couldn't we? What's an apostle? Big A, small A, capital A, vertical, horizontal, self-proclaimed, ordained. I mean, we could have all kind of things about apostles. And by the way, there are 5 different apostles in the New Testament, 5 different kinds of apostles. Sometime we might be able to talk about that. But then he gave some prophets. Thank God. Then he gave some evangelists. And he gave some pastors and teachers. Now, this is what I want to ask you. Are any of those gifts with a capital beginning? If you have capital letters on the front of those gifts, then I suggest you buy a new Bible. Or better than that, just throw it away, I give you one. I mean, they're not there. So wait. These are gifts given to men. But then what's the purpose of it? And we can read it in verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now what's the fruit of it? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I believe the man has really put this in a blender sometimes. And what comes out isn't what was meant. These gifts are meant for the equipping of the saints. I look at this, they're not offices. They are not offices. These are gifts. So what is an apostolic gift? See. What's a prophet without a capital P? What's an evangelist? See, I think sometimes we identify ourselves by saying, this is who we are. And there's one in there that says pastors. Now, you know, you don't have to invite me back again, but I can tell you now, if you follow my line of thinking, you're going to have a whole new perspective of these gifts. They're not offices. However, there are offices in the church that will take on these names. They're equipping gifts. If we put a capital E on the evangelist, then what we're saying is, this is my office of an evangelist. If we put a capital P on pastor, it's my office as a pastor. And these were never meant to be offices. They're meant to be gifts for the equipping of the saints. Now, I realize I'm really stirring some things up here, but that's okay. I like stirring things up sometimes. And the reality is this. Let me share this story with you. I preached on evangelism in our church. I had a church of about 350 on Sunday morning, and I preached every message I could get a hold of. And I said, oh, God, I'm going to preach, and the seats are going to be empty long enough. They're going to go out. We're going to have to double the size because we're going to preach evangelism. We're going to see the spirit of evangelism. And I hammered this home. I preached, and I was blue in the face, and nobody left the church. They all sat there. I said, oh, God. I knew that I'm supposed to somehow get people moving. And so, one day, I am praying in my office, and I said, God, what's wrong? He said, you are. I said, excuse me? What do you mean? He said, you're in my way. He said, I didn't give you the grace to preach evangelism. That's for equipping. Ah. Well, what am I to do? Now, I'm going to mention a name, and I never heard this name before in my life. I didn't even know who he was. I said, God, how do I do this? He said, you need to call somebody who has the grace to minister the evangelistic message to equip the saints for evangelism. I'm thinking, and he gave me this name, Phil Durstein. I said, Phil Durstein. I literally didn't know who it was. Now this to me is just an amazing opportunity to fall into a deep hole. You know, I started looking. Finally, I found a name, Phil Durstein, and so I looked it up. And here I found this guy. He's working with some kind of a family retreat center in Florida. I had no idea. I called him on the phone. Talked to his secretary. He didn't answer me. I called him 5 times. He never answered me. I'm thinking, maybe it was another name, you know. And what I didn't know was he was on a ministry trip. So on a Saturday afternoon, I'm in prayer in the church, and the phone rings. I answered the phone, and he said, is this Don Richter? And I said, yes. He said, my name's Phil Durstein. Who are you, and what do you want? He said, I can't believe you've called me all these times. He said, who are you? And then I told him why I called. And he was doing a meeting out in California with his dad. I said, God said that I'm to invite you to come. I said, I don't have any money, but I have a big heart. He said, I don't need money. He said, God did this, didn't he? I said, yeah. He came, left his dad out there, came, flew up to New York. We had 3 meetings. The church was empty. They all left to do evangelism. Now I'm really upset. I said, God, I preached everything I could preach. He said, I didn't give you the grace to preach evangelism. I hope you're hearing this, because I think sometimes we launch into things and we realize that we're failing this. I got to get more education. No, you need the grace of God. He will stir your heart. He will have you say the things you need to say. And so the reality is, these are equipping gifts. Add a whole new perspective of this. So I said, I want to equip. So what am I to do? And God gave me some insight. He said, I want you to equip the church to be prophetic. I want to activate the prophetic gift in the local congregations. I have the grace for that. Let me tell you something. It was amazing. It was amazing. And I feel like when we step into that place, our calling, it's that hope for the grace to do what he's asking us to do. Oh, I'm running out of time. Are we okay here? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because if you get this, please don't look at pastor and say, take the P off of that. You know, no, don't do that. That's not what we're talking about. I mean, men, they've done this. Somebody said to me, I don't believe that. I said, that's okay. I'm just reading from here. but I want to tell you something. If we understand this equipping ministry the way we should, we're not given the knowledge to do it. We're given the grace to do it. I believe that I know who I am. I know what I do. I'm a father in the faith. I went to a meeting one time. C. Peter Wagner was there, and when I approached the door, and they said, "Are you an apostle?" I said, "No." Are you a father in the faith? I said, yeah. He said, you're an apostle. I said, this is crazy stuff for me. I'm just Don Richter who trying to figure it out. And here I get these people who do this to me. And I think, okay, this apostle, this small a, is an equipping ministry. And I really think it's an important ministry. And I feel like when we function that way, we're actually a father to some things without demanding anything. We're just fathers. And I love being that way. We're out of time. Oh, dear me. Let me take a shortcut here just briefly, and I want to do this because it's important. There is only one gift that's in all three. Were the sacrificial gifts. We look at the serving gifts. We look at the ministry gifts. And then we move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there are nine gifts there. But there's only one gift that's in all three. Only one. If we're serving, there's this one gift that's important. If we are a ministry gift, that's this one gift that's real equipping gift where it's important. We know that one is there. If we're working with a congregation and we have charismatic gifts in the church, which is what these are, there's nine of them. The only one that's the same is prophecy, the gift of prophecy. Prophecy. Now, this was really, when I saw this the first time, I said, wait a minute. And then I looked at it, I said, this is it. God wants to speak into all of those areas. When we have a group of people who are serving sacrificially, God is speaking. When we have people who are called to bring the gift of equipping into the church, God is speaking. When we have charismatic gifts in the church where we see prophecy happening, God is speaking. I love this because God is seeing us with his potential. This is so important. And I feel that if God's called you and he's given you the grace to do it, that means that we can do this together. I don't want to judge anybody for what they're doing. Like I said, if you go and see Lou Ingalls, you're going to say, very interesting, this guy. Don't walk out of there doing that. You know, you almost want to... You have your own flag that blows in the wind, and it looks the way it does. And I just want to encourage you tonight. When I come back the next time, I'll finish this teaching, but I want you to realize that these gifts, these three sets of gifts given by God to us, they're important. We know that in the Bible time, these kings in the Old Testament, when they went and they took over another king, They brought him back helpless. They cut his thumbs off and they cut his toes off. He could not defend himself. And they put him on a, they just a display, and they bring him back. And on the way back, in order for all everybody to see that their king was the winner, all of his subjects come out. But he's not sure they're coming. So what he does is he gives gifts to the people along the way. And I think today we might see people coming out for microwaves and Vitamixers or new cell phones that they're giving away. But in this case, the gifts that he gave, because he led captive, I feel like it's so important to understand that he displays a defeated enemy. When we come to there, to that place to see the victory, he's giving us gifts to equip. Oh, my goodness. I love you guys. And when we meet again, we'll continue with this teaching. As a matter of fact, I know you guys have caught, there are 9 pages to these notes, 10 actually. I'll print them off ahead of time, and I'll send them so you can go over so we can have a really good conversation. But tonight, I felt, since it was announced that you can go and see this man, he's truly a gift. He's truly a gift. And we see him blowing in the wind. Don't act like that. Don't echo him. But say, God, I want to hear his message. It's God's message through him. And this is an important time. It's an important time. So what I'd like to do now is I want us just to acknowledge the fact that anything that you got called to do, there's a hope that you have in that the grace of God will carry you through. That's how I was sent, with this same grace. I believe that when Peter went and he preached at Cornelius' house, he was full of grace. He didn't want to do that, but he was full of grace. The prophetic word came. See, it's always there. That prophetic speaking of God is there. So, Father, I ask you for a clarity of hearts and minds. Father, it's so good. I'd so appreciated the opening prayer that we have the liberty and privilege to come into a safe place to hear you and to experience your love through one another. Truly, Lord God, the evidence of the Holy Spirit is seen in this room. But Father, I ask you right now just to blow in my heart fresh and new. I pray that for each one here, but in mine especially tonight. But as I leave here, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your grace is with me to do all things that you've called me to do. Oh, Father, thank you for that. Thank you for the gifts that were given to equip the church for the sake of the saints, Father, that we would equip the ministry. Father, as we continue to consider, even in this night and this day, I'm right now just thinking about Pastor Dan and Kathy. Father, they've been given a position to walk in that only by the grace of God does it work. So, Father, we ask for them right now. We say, just pour out your Spirit big time and cause them to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have the grace to do what it is that you've called them to do. Yes. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for each member of this congregation, Father. As they come together, they come with the idea that they're going to be fed and blessed, Father. I just pray that happened tonight for each one. Lord God, you know us better than we know ourselves. And Father, we pray right now. I pray for my physical condition, that I would be whole in every way so that I could continue to do what you've called me to do. And I pray that for each one here. Father, those things that we're facing coming up that we think, oh, this is a surprise. Well, it wasn't a surprise to you. give us the grace. I know you have. But Father, we pray for divine healing and divine touch in the body today, especially for those who are here tonight who need that touch. Lord God, touch them. Touch them. Oh, we want the evidence to be seen by those who stand and look and say, this is impossible. It shouldn't have happened this way. Well, we understand that. So I ask for that right now. Just cause our testimony to be of a faithful God. Lord, we look forward to bringing the good report. That's part of who we are. Cause us to be world changers because you've changed our world inside. I ask for your grace and your blessing on this congregation. And Father, it's a joy. It's a joy to come together and to share our hearts and know that grace is here for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. This is good stuff. Amen.